Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is Apostle Armstrong. This is our biblical study time. And tonight we will begin Ezekiel chapter 7. But first scripture we will read to set the foundation, set the context. It's going to be Ecclesiastic 1, verse 9. And today I'm going to read out of the King James Version. And we will read that and see what the Holy Spirit has to say to us about the impending disaster that Ezekiel chapter 7. This scripture was given to me around the year 2013, somewhere between 2013 and 2012, when I was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And so, but let us pray. Almighty, everlasting Creator, we invite the Holy Spirit into this discussion and hope that it will lead us into all truth. And we just thank you and praise you. And we just take spiritual authority over the airwaves, knowing that your word is going out over the earth and that we just bind the devil up and his angels and his demons, and that they will not be able to prevent those who have the heart to hear or those who have the heart to see. As I read, they can read along with me. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. The context that this scripture was given, and it's interesting, a light came on in a room where there's no one in there. So be it. The thing, this is Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Most of the times we are familiar with the latter part, what I call, the not the B part in this case. It would be the C or D part, scripture, this verse. I'm going to read it again, so it will be clear in your mind, in your spirit, and in your heart. You can connect to it. And if you have your Bible, if you listen, read it for yourself and see what the Holy Spirit is saying to you about it. And it reads thus, the thing that has been, it is that which shall be. In other words, the thing which has been is preordained by the Creator to be, to have been. And that which is done is that which shall be done. In other words, what has taken place was meant, God meant for it to be. And now we see what? There is no new thing under the sun. In other words, that which has happened in the past, it preordained by God to take place, to happen. And as we review it, we can gain some knowledge, understanding, and some from what has taken place in the past. And that's the context that we're going to be walking down that path today, tonight, and they feel as we read Ephesians chapter 7, and it's talked about impending disaster. And let the Holy Spirit reveal to you any similarity or any parallelism with what is happening today in America, but in the world. have. And see, we gain understanding of what is taking place in light of what we read in Revelation about nations coming together, and they will be amidst their armies, and then there will be a battle, great battle. And we see a lot of us now don't understand what's happening, but we know what we heard, that the Russians, Chinese, and the Iranians, you talk about the bear and all those symbols that's in Revelation. Let's see what happened in the past and see if there's any parallelism between what happened in the past and what's happening today. And then it reads that, this is the prophet Ezekiel, the word of the Lord came to me. Didn't say it was his word. That's one thing we're going to be clear. And we're going to take our time going through this. And we know what people are saying today that call themselves a prophet. They just speak. They say, well, this, you're going to get this job. You're going to get all this money. But what did he say? Which validates, which he clearly defines whose authority he's speaking on behalf of. And what is it? He said, the word of the Lord, not the word of the world, not politician. He said, the word of the Lord came to me. In other words, the Creator spoke to him, and what he's given us is what the Creator gave to him. And let's see if we can validate that. It says, and you, O Son of Man, that's verse 2, and you, O Son of Man, thus saith the Lord God to the land of Israel. So who is he talking about? Talking about the Israelites. You hear me now? So we clear. You're talking about the land of Israel. The land represents the people. The people represent the land. And what did he say? He says, an end, exclamation point. Now, let's read all this so this is clear that we put everything in its proper perspective. And the subheading for this is, impending danger, this as the word of the Lord came to me. That is where the word came from and whose word came to him. And then he goes on, and you, O Son of Man, and you, comma, O Son of Man, comma. So he made it clear that he had chosen this person to speak. But thus said the Lord God to the land of Israel. And then he goes on. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. What is he saying? He said that an end, and then he specified that the end has come where? Upon the four corners of the land. Now, what does he say? What else? In verse 3. Now the end is upon you. He's referencing. The prophet is speaking this. Can you imagine? There's a prophet talking to the people, and not good news. Now the end is upon you, and I will let loose my anger upon you. It's clear what's about to happen. He's stating his emotion. He says, now the end is upon you. And he gets angry. God is angry at them. And he says, I will let loose my anger upon you and will judge you. Okay, so he's going to let his anger loose. Why? He's going to judge them. Why? And he's going to judge them now according to your ways. What is he going to judge? The bad ways. He's not talking about some pie in the sky. He's talking about what they have done, of what they are doing, of what they have not done. He goes on and said, and I will punish you for all your abominations. There are consequences. He's making it clear now. Says there are consequences. And it wasn't like they were not aware of what God's done. He says for their abomination. And then we go on. He says, and my eye will not spare you. Now, I will not talk. We're dealing with a spiritual being. We're not dealing with an individual. His invisible eye is we are limited in how far we can see and what we can process in terms of here, as the old passage used to say, in my mind's eye, talking about their spiritual eye, what they were able to see beyond the natural. And he said, and my eye will not spare you. Okay, they're going to be punished. There's no opportunity for repentance. He's making that clear. And my eye will not spare you, nor will I have pity. He's a just God. He's being just to them. In other words, he said in the book of Michael, chapter 6, verse 8, he said that he only asked three things of us. Be just, show mercy, and walk humbly with him. So they knew. It's not like they didn't know what God required for your ways. Excuse me. I have a cold and my allergies. While your abominations are in your midst, then you will know that I am the Lord. Now, think about it. God set up his authority, set up to remind them of who he is. He reminded them of who they are. And in turn, what the consequences that they must face if they insist on doing their own thing, doing it their way. Now, as we want to line up things to what's happening today, see in a parallelism between what happened then and what happened now. Is the same God that exists now? Is that same God going to hold us accountable? Is that God going to judge us according to our ways? The answer is yes. If you look at the Matthew 25:32, judgment of the nation. This is judgment of the nation of Israel. And it ain't straight now. Nation is what? Who? Nations are people. The people going to be judged. And then that is made clear in Matthew 25:32, where he made it clear that the people were being judged. You said that he would separate the goat from the sheep, and then he spelled out what criteria he would be using, which is basically some of the same thing that he said here, only he didn't go into the details the way Jesus went into the details. If we think about it, now the end is upon you. I will let loose my anger upon you and will judge you according to your ways. And I will punish you for all your abominations. Now, go to Matthew 25:32. What did Jesus say? Jesus told the ones who fed him, ones who clothed him, ones who visited him, the ones that took care of him. And then he said to the other ones who didn't do what he required of them, he put one on one side and one on the other. And then you had that group that was standing there saying, when did we see you and do these things for you? And Jesus was clear, what you've done unto the least of them, you've done unto me. And now, so he rewarded them. Now let's see how this line up with what was written here. In Ezekiel, what happened then is what happened now. Said, I will judge you according to your ways, and I will punish you for all your abominations. Jesus told the ones who didn't do what he asked them to do to depart from me. He didn't have pity on them. He punished them. They were punished. So, at that part, we can see some of the things that is going to take place now. Are we doing it according to the teaching of Jesus? We're taking the gospel message according to what he had called us, commanded that we do. If we're not, we not feel that we're going to wind up suffering the same consequences that these people suffered back then, we say, oh, that's the Old Testament, right? This that doesn't count. Seem to be some parallels in there. And then let's go down to verse 5. That said the Lord God, disaster after disaster, behold, it comes. Okay, that's this far there. What have we had in the last couple months? Tornadoes. Whenever we think about all that's taken place, there was disaster upon disaster. And if we go back within the last 6 months, we had school shooting where they went in with an AR-15 and just shredded the children. Behold, it comes. And then he goes on. And a lot of people are saying that the end is here for this generation. The end is here for this government, for this nation. And a lot of people are saying, the end ain't coming. But let's just see what the word says. Not what I said, what the word says. An end has come. The end has come. It has awakened against you. Behold, it comes. Are we listening? What is God trying to tell us? What do we read in Ecclesiastes. What do the one that everybody I know, you all remember that one. That there's nothing new what under the sun. But the first part it says the thing that has been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done, that which shall be done. And do you see any correlation between what we read so far and what this is saying? And there is no new thing under the sun. I just want us to think about it. Now, let's go on, because we probably only going to get down to verse 10 tonight, and we will pick this up next week. And it goes, an end has come. The end has come. It has awakened against you. Behold, it comes. Your doom has come to you, O inhabitant of the land. The time has come. The day is near. A day of turmoil, and not of joy for shouting upon the mountain. We think about what do we see all across the earth. What do we see now? Hear about wars and rumors of wars. We hear now that democracy in America is at risk. Do we say, what is that saying to us or about us? When we think about it in those terms, it may help us to understand what it is that's happening. Don't look at it through the natural eyes. Look at it through the spiritual. And we will come into a greater understanding of what is happening. We walk by faith, not by sight. And then it says, and my eye will not spare you. Spiritual. We are dealing with spiritual things, not the spiritual things, not natural. What we see is not what is. So we need to begin to come into an understanding of ourselves, who we are and whose we are. Because we're going to be judged individually. We are the nation. We're not the land or the nation. And we just go on and think about it. Now I will soon pour out my wrath upon you and spread my anger against you. Okay. One thing I want to get people to understand is that what we have done as a nation, God is going to hold us accountable for it. And we are the people who profess to be God-fearing. But are we? We need to be clear. Are we into idolatry? Do we worship the one and only true God? Or are we worshiping that which God created? And he created it and given it to the children of men. And have we taken it and made a God out of it? Why are we caught up with the creature? I mean, the created and not the creature. Or the creator. You need to be clear. Just listen. Now I will soon pour out my wrath upon you and spend my anger against you. and judge you according to your ways. And I will punish you for all your abominations. As we listen to what's happening, as we listen and look at those who profess to be God's chosen ones, what do we see? We see positions that's being taken that doesn't line up with the word. We hear words coming out of people's mouths that doesn't line up with the word. We hear and see things in the natural that is glorifying man. But when we look at things spiritually, we see that God is going to hold them accountable for their behavior, for their action. So whenever we sit here and observe and appear to be deteriorating and looking all bad, and we who are believers, we can count it all joy as we go through this, because we know the one that created us, and the one is the same one that created the heavens and the earth, and it's the same one that has chosen us for a time as this. He chose us to prepare us to speak his word, not professing to be no prophet. Just make sure that we get that. All I am is a teacher of the word. That's my role. That's my purpose right here and now. As an apostle, that teaching means teaching pastors. That may mean teaching people to understand the words and be able to discern the words. But now, what spiritual gifts do you have? Are you using them? Go on, because we're just going to stop at verse 9. It says, "Now I will soon pour out my wrath upon you." Punishment. So there has to be what before punishment? There has to be judgment. What did he say back up there about Israel? They will be judged. And they will be punished. And he said his anger against them. And he going to judge them according to their ways. And the same thing that he's going to do now. If you look at it, why did he shut the building down so people couldn't get into that building to worship? He needed to shut it down so he could cleanse the body, his son's body, because of what was being taught. Line it up with the word, not what I say, what the word says. And then if we go on, verse 9, "And my eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. I have punished you according to your ways, while your abominations are in your midst. Then you will know I am the Lord who smites." Go back to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25. He said that he's going to judge the people, judgment of the nation. The same is judgment they did in Ezekiel days, judgment of the nation. Now, what I am saying to you tonight, you need to get this word and you need to sit with it. And you need to look at all these different movements. We have the reawakening that's happening now. There's a group that's pushing, and they call it reawakening. You have to just think about it and look at spiritual realm, not through the natural. Whenever you look at it through the natural, then you may get a little bit out of shape with what you see and what you hear. But now, when you look at it spiritually, as it line up with God's word, you see that his word is, will not come back void, tells you that we walk by faith, not by sight. But when we look what we see, we'll get us a little bit out of shape, and we will wind up losing our salvation. And so tonight, we're going to pause here because 15, 30 minutes, and then we have a discussion, question, answers for another 15. So we're doing a 45-minute study. There's people, and the Holy Spirit moves. We could go to 60 minutes, but right now, we are going, the time frame is 30 minutes and 15 for question and answer. And since no one has called in, there is no questions, no answers. So if you have a question or comment, or you question something that was said, talkingdrums12@gmail.com. But read the scripture first before you come up with your question or your comment. No matter, I think I feel. Back it up with the word. And I'll be glad to respond on air. I'll acknowledge you and respond. As we look at it, what do we say? We're saying that there's nothing new under the sun. And that what took place then applies to us today. And then, at tomorrow time, it will be, what will it be? The topic we're going to be dealing with, God is a new thing, God. Hear me. He's a new thing, God. So it's going to be God of new things. Isaiah 43:18-19. And an indirect way, it's still, we'll be picking up, dealing with some of the things in Ezekiel chapter 7. So I send you forth into the world with renewed spirit and renewed mind, and your understanding should be changed, your attitude going to the world, you can carry that light with you. Shalom. Shalom.